Amen. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. You guys bear with me this morning. I lost my voice Wednesday night. Couldn't teach Wednesday night. Found it Thursday. And I knew at 4 o'clock this morning that I was in danger of losing it again today. We had short praise and worship at 101. And I tried to preach without raising my voice. Maggie said the first half of it sounded like I was dying. And on top of that, as I sought the Lord, you know, sometimes the Lord gives me a word that I'm not saying that it won't make sense, but I'm saying that I don't always understand fully what it's about until later, looking back. And so I have a word today that's not a long word. And again, I'm going to try to do it and conserve my voice. So if you get sleepy, listen for the word within the word and slap yourself if you have to, and try not to fall out on the floor, because that would disrupt the whole service. So turn with me to Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. This usually only lasts about a week with me, and so next week hopefully I'll... It's just allergies. Jonah chapter 3, I'll give you a moment to get there. It's after Obadiah in the Old Testament. It's only one verse this morning. And again, it's a word that you may think, this is kind of odd, because I'm certainly preaching to the choir today, but I believe there's a word for all of us in this word. But you've got to listen carefully for what the Spirit of God is saying. Jonah chapter 3. Verse 4, and then we'll pray. Jonah 3, verse 4. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Let's pray. Lord, give this word wings in spite of my voice, in spite of my frailty. In spite of the faulty delivery and not understanding it fully, give this word life. Send it where you want it. Let it be filled with your power to speak to us in our hearts. And let it make a difference in someone's life today, including my own. Let it count for eternity. Let this service count for eternity. Lord, we're not here to do anything other than to glorify you and to yield our hearts more fully to you. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would do a deep work in each of our lives, and that when we leave this place, we'll carry a word that we'll ponder and meditate upon during the week. I know that there are parts of this that you will speak even as I've not planned to. So give me the word within the word, even as I preach, and be glorified in it. Receive this as my worship, even in this hour. In Jesus' name. Sustain my voice, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Most people who preach the word feel like Jonah. Or at least I would say, and I don't mean this arrogantly, but all of those who truly bear the true gospel, the true word of the Lord, out of all of them, I think that most would say that they understand Jonah. That there is this initial evasion. Jonah's story is a story of evasion. It's a story of trying to evade the will of God. Trying to evade words from God. We will go to such great lengths to evade the words that come from God. We will keep ourselves so busy and our spirit so occupied and so filled with other things, and we would never admit it in a million years, but we so often are trying to evade the Word of God until we find ourselves in a fish's belly, as Jonah. I've been there in my own life, and God has given each one of you, whether you like it or not, an unpopular message. It's not just for me to speak. We're called to preach the gospel, and the gospel is not just the goodness of Jesus, though it's all wrapped up in his goodness. There is a word. There's an unpopular message. And I would actually tell you that today's message is titled, Yet 40 Days. Three words. Yet 40 Days. And I want for these three words to just sink down into your spirit today so that when you leave, even if you've not understood all of my intent in this word, that during the week, this week, you would hear it. You would hear it. You would lay down on your pillow at night and you'd hear these words. Yet 40 days. That was the message. That was the message that God gave Jonah. Shortest sermon in the world. Go to a city, to a people who are the enemies of God, and deliver this message. Yet 40 days, and this city shall be overthrown. Only 40 days. You know, we are always those who bear the Word of God. We're always as though we're standing on the edge of some great society. We're not the center of it. I don't for a moment think that I'm the center of the society in which I live and that you and I are the center and people are giving much heed to what we say. We're always standing on the edge of a great city. And we're always bearing a word that's unpopular, a word that carries great power with it, yet 40 days. And this word is for the society to which it's delivered. It has either one of two effects. It is like a mighty rock that crushes hard hearts and breaks them and brings them to a place of being dealt with by God. Or on the other hand, it is a word that invites its bearer to be stoned, like the Apostle Paul, that people would take up arms and resist the word. Now, I believe that, well, first of all, let me say that Jonah was given something that you and I are not given. Or let me extend that and say the people of Nineveh were given something that you and I are not given. They were given a time framework. They were given an exact time, 40 days. Yet 40 days, and this city shall be overthrown. You and I are not given that. I am not given that when I come and I tell you this morning that God said to me at 4 o'clock this morning, yet 40 days. When God speaks, He speaks in the context of His Word. And I have to always remember that Jesus said, no man knows the day nor the hour. Only the Father knows. And so, yet 40 days, if God speaks it to me, and I speak it to you, God still wants us to hear something in it. Yet 40 days, I will say ahead of myself that this at least means that there is a time period that has an end. Jonah went with the exact date. 40 days and this city shall be overthrown. But when I speak to you and I say, yet 40 days, God wants you to hear something. He wants you to hear something. He's already told us that we don't know the exact date. We don't know. But 40 days for us means that there is an allotted time. Because even when Jonah said, yet 40 days, what it meant was, get right with God, because there is a time that comes to an end. There is a completion to the things. God is calling for a change of heart. Because there is something that He is going to do. And it's very, very serious this morning when God says, yet 40 days, I am not coming to you, giving you a time framework, saying that something is going to happen in 40 days. I'm saying that God said this morning for us as a people to hear this word, yet 40 days. Yet 40 days. Time draws to a close. The extended favor, the invitation of the Lord has a completion time, even though we aren't given that exact day or that exact hour. Now, I believe that God gave us this experience in the Bible, the story of Nineveh and Jonah. I believe He gave us this story for one reason, and if you'll allow me this liberty, I believe that this is why this happened. Because Nineveh is an exception. It's not the norm. You've got to understand that everyone in the city of Nineveh repented deeply And there was an extension of time for them. I believe that God gives this one exception in the Word of God, that on the day of judgment, there will be a high standard. That on the day of judgment, those societies and those individuals who have hardened their heart against God and have not heeded the word that was carried to the people yet 40 days, that there will be those, and Jesus even alluded to this when he walked on the earth. He said those in Nineveh will rise up in judgment. Those in Sodom and Gomorrah will rise up in judgment against those who have the message of the gospel and yet would not receive it and hardened their heart against it. That if we stand on the day of judgment, and there are the people of Jonah's generation of a city called Nineveh that were enemies of God. You got to understand they were enemies of God. And they got a one-line sermon. Yet 40 days and this city shall be overthrown. And they're standing there before the throne of God, forgiven. They're standing there justified because they repented. And we stand there who have received the Word of God for a lifetime, who have all the opportunities of living in a land where there's freedom to worship the Lord. And God says to us, yes, yet 40 days, and what do we do with that one-line sermon? What do we do with the word that says time has an allotted end? Nineveh is not the norm. Jesus said, narrow is the way, and few are they who find it. Nineveh is the exception, where everyone falls on their knees and receives the Lord. It is an exception in the Word of God and in history, because usually only a few repent. Today, even fewer are repenting. Less and less. I don't have the statistics because I don't know the heart of man, but I will stake everything that I know about the Word of God and about our society, I would lay it on the line to guarantee you that fewer and fewer are repentant today than have been in societies where the Word was available in the past. It's harder and it's harder to see people soften their hearts to the Lord. They reject, and they reject the sermon, the message, yet 40 days. And there are fewer Jonas. There are fewer Jonas, that fewer Christians that have the word of repentance, that call for repentance. Let me tell you what, they came in the Old Testament and they said, repent. Jonah went and he said, repent, and they did. Jesus came on the scene and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is a one-line message from the beginning to the end of the Word of God. You say, well, what about the cross? There would be no cross if it were not for the need to repent. The gospel is, yet 40 days, yet a way has been made. How will you respond? The man or the woman who calls for repentance today is as strange a sight to our society as Jonah was standing on the outskirts of a city coming in with a story that he had been swallowed by a fish. But there are some men like that. There are some men who will count the cost and will carry the message that God has given them. I believe that today, by the grace of God, I am one as I come before you. And there are those all over this world today who are carrying that message of repentance. Many are needed today to rise up and answer this call. And I'll ask you this morning, will you be one who answers? The only thing, if you are one who carries this word of the Lord, the only thing that you will say that matters is the yet 40 days. The whale story is not the important part. It's the message that's delivered in the end. How you got there is not the important part. It's what you say when you get there to the place that God has sent you. And so all of this may sound still a little strange to you, and I'm just doing what the Lord wants me to do, and I'm saying it again and again and again, that it would sink into your ears and into your heart, and you'd walk out of here today, and you'd just hear this strange little thing being said. Yet 40 days. Yet 40 days. What does God mean? Yet 40 days. For us today, again, it's not an exact number. So don't anybody go out of here and say that Pastor Mark said something's going to happen in 40 days. But it's the word that God is speaking that time is short. The Holy Spirit says, today, if I don't get any of the rest of this sermon right, by the grace of God, I know that the Holy Spirit is saying this morning, yet 40 days. It means get yourself right. It means wake up. I'm speaking to me. It means grow up. It means get right with the Lord. You see, your 40 days could end this afternoon. Your 40 days could end right now, even as I'm speaking. We resist Him while we're borrowing breath from Him. Your 40 days could end in the middle of the work week this week. Your allotted time. Your call of Jonah. Your call that says, this place is going to be overcome. There is a judgment coming. Oh, what an unpopular message. There is a judgment coming. Yet 40 days. If you remember Belshazzar in the story of Daniel, he had a big feast. He was an enemy of God. He had a big party. And he invited everyone. And in this party, which represents his lifestyle, he used the things that had been taken out of the house of God, the gold and silver vessels. And he served wine in them for his party. And people ate and drank, and they praised gods of wood and silver and gold and stone, using the very things that were the very objects of adoration of God that came from the temple of God. It was all a mockery. It was all a sham. And it was the same thing as if we come into the house of God, we do the things of God, we take the Lord's Supper, we talk about the Lord, and we live this, quote, religious life. And yet all the while we're serving the things of this world. We are a slave to the things that we love in this world. We're caught in this secular society in which we live. And while Belshazzar was partying and eating and drinking, he was living like everybody in the world does, just living for himself. And suddenly there appeared on the wall a hand writing. Writing on the wall, writing words on the wall in a language that nobody understood. Many, many shekel, you parson. And the king was terrified at this specter, this vision, this thing. Everybody saw it. They saw a hand writing on the wall. Daniel was sent for, and Daniel came, and God gave him the gift to interpret. Let me tell you something. In this time in which you live, you need the gift to interpret the writing on the wall. You need the gift to know what God is saying. In fact, the very words that I'm speaking this morning that I believe are by the Holy Spirit, yet 40 days, you need to ponder on those words and have an interpretation. You need, because we don't have a Daniel, we have a Holy Spirit ourselves. You need to be able to go home and say, God, what were you speaking to me? What does this mean for me in my life? Daniel came and he said, O king, this is what the words mean. This is what God is saying. King, your kingdom and your life have been weighed in the balances. In other words, on the scales. And it's come up short. Your life has come up short, king. You have fallen short of the glory of God. The word of God says we have all fallen short of the glory of God. And your kingdom is going to be lost this very night. In other words, 40 days was up. It wasn't an exact number. He was saying, this is your allotted time. Yet 40 days and this city shall be overthrown. O king, yet tonight your kingdom shall be overthrown. And indeed Belshazzar was killed that night. And another took his place. And our lives are no different than Belshazzar. Because all of our lives have been weighed. God puts our lives on the scales and He weighs them. And how many of you know none of us are God? And so we always come up short, don't we? Your life has been placed upon the scales of Almighty God. And I have to be careful or I won't be able to speak. Your life has been placed upon the scales. And it's come up short. It's come up short. Mine came up short. It always comes up short. It's found wanting, as the King James Version. Placed in the balances, weighed, and found wanting. Yet 40 days. Yet 40 days. I was praying in the early hours of the morning and saying, Lord, I have to do music at one service and preach at two services, and I don't have much voice left, and it was really a lot worse this morning. The Lord's been gracious. And I thought, Lord, give me a fast, short word that I can speak, because my voice may not last unless you do something for me. And I thought about that. I thought about what I was asking, and I thought, what if my voice were truly going away? What if my voice to you was diminishing and disappearing? And I only had yet 40 days. I only had this morning and I only had 5 minutes. Time for a 5-minute sermon. God, what would you want me to say and what would I speak? Would I cave into the flesh and say, oh God, give me some great revelation of Christ that they've never heard before. Let me preach something that's going to stir them in their hearts, and they're going to go home and say, ooh, where'd he get that from? He must have really been before the throne of God. And I thought how much more important it would be to say, yet 40 days. Of all the things that I could speak to you, because you already know the message of the cross. Of all the things that I could speak to you, that in the last raspy breaths, if it were all I had, that I would say, yet 40 days. Yet 40 days. Your 40 days could be this afternoon. This place shall be overthrown. Get right with God. The people of Nineveh fell on their knees. Incredible miracle of God. The whole city. Do you understand there were perhaps 1 million or more in Nineveh? And all repented before the Lord, before this strange-looking man who had been 3 days and nights in the belly of a fish. The Bible doesn't say for certain, probably a whale, but 3 days and nights in the belly of a fish. And what little bit of stories we have heard in history that are often disputed, but nevertheless, that if a man is swallowed by a whale and survives, which has supposedly happened historically, that he comes forth bleached white. He's like an albino because his skin has changed and his hair is gone because the enzymes have destroyed the follicles in his scalp. So you can just imagine Jonah, this white, 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 bleached man strolling into the streets of Nineveh with a one-line sermon. Yet 40 days. What a spectacle. Didn't find it hard to gather a crowd. Yet 40 days and this place shall be overthrown. Ask people on the back row to please show respect this morning. The people of Nineveh were about to be tried. How would they respond? How would they respond? And I'm going to ask you this morning, how many will look like such utter fools before the throne of God when the judgment comes, when God shows us the people of Nineveh who believed the plain and simple one-line words of a simple preacher? How many will hang their heads in shame because they have believed the words of evolutionists, believed the words of philosophers, believed the words of self-help gurus, and believed the words of Hollywood stars? You see, in the Bible, 40 is a number that speaks of testing and trial and probation. Testing, trial, and probation. It rained upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights as Noah rode upon the waters with his family safe inside of the ark. But it was a time of testing. Let me ask you this morning, if you had never seen rain before and God called you to build a ship like had never been built on the earth before, and it took you and your sons 120 years to build it, and you entered into it and the rains came for 40 days and 40 nights, would you not agree that that ark was being tested? That your faith would still be being tested? What if I didn't coat it good enough with pitch on the inside and out? What if it's not secure? What if it doesn't hold up when the storms batter against it? But Noah rode securely inside of that ark, which represents Christ for us. 40 days and 40 nights of testing and trial. 40 more days after the rain stopped before he could open a window. The Holy Spirit says to the church this morning, yet 40 days. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the coming of the Son of Man is. That they were just living like everybody else. They were giving in marriage and eating and drinking and just having their regular life, business as usual, and people did not respond. It was not like Jonah walking into the city of Nineveh and everybody falls on their faces and repents. No, when the flood came, only 8 people were saved out of millions all over the face of the earth. And Jesus said that for our day, it's not going to be like Nineveh's day. Narrow is the way and few are they who find it. Jesus said it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah, when only a few were saved and multitudes were swept away. Because they did not heed the word of the Lord. 40 days, 40 nights are relatively a short time. 40 days, yet 40 days is relatively a short time in the scheme of things. Those who heed the gospel today will be inside of the ark and will be safe when the things come upon us. There is coming, church, a flood. There is coming upon this earth. You can laugh. You can say, oh, Pastor Mark, we hear this and you say these things. Some of you can go home and you can say, it just sounds so extreme. And they've been preaching this for thousands of years. And I'm just going to tell you one more time. There is a flood coming upon this earth. There's a flood of trials and testing. And it is the church's time of probation to be proven and to be tried before the Lord. And the repentant will be proven. You say, well, I thought it was faith. Well, it is faith. You can't have genuine faith without repentance. There are going to be those who walk in great, great faith in this generation. But it's not going to be those who preach this great faith message without the message of repentance. And there is much of that today. It will be those who have repentant hearts, who count the cost of following the Lord, who don't shy away from a message that says, yet 40 days, but who take it and they say, God, what are you saying to me in this word? Jesus was tested for 40 days in the wilderness. Trials and testings. Tested by temptation that came from Satan. Do you know that Satan tempts us, but do you understand that God could take every temptation away if He wanted to? And I'm speaking that this morning for the one here today who perhaps is battling some great, great temptation. You're struggling. You're really dealing with some temptations in your life. There's a temptation to turn backwards. There's a temptation not to go all the way with the Lord. There's a temptation to fall back into patterns of behavior from years before. There are things pulling at you from this world around you that is so filled with glitz and glamour and all of the things that we think make us what people are supposed to be. And we're bombarded with it. There's temptation on the right. There's temptation on the left. And God could take that temptation away from you. And we can say it's Satan because evil comes from Satan, and it does. But God can take the temptation away from you, but He is trying you. He is trying you not to make you fall, but that you might hear these words, yet 40 days. There is an end. There is a time. And there is an end to that time. And there are those who will repent and who will get deliverance and will walk in strength by the grace of God. So don't misunderstand me. 40 days, again, is not a prediction by me. 40 days is a word from the Lord about where we are. This is a generation that justifies sin. This is a generation that says, well, this is just the way I am. This is a generation that says, well, everybody else is doing it. This is a generation that says, oh, the grace of God is sufficient. I don't have to worry about walking the right way. And the Word says, yet 40 days. Yet 40 days, and we will stand before the throne of God. And what will judge us? You see, 40 days is not a message of gloom and doom. 40 days is about victory. But it's up to you. It's a matter of how you will respond. You see, there were a multitude of people wandering in the wilderness. They're called the Church of the Wilderness in the Bible. Old Testament believers being led by Moses to their promised land. And they came up against the border. They came up to where they would cross the Jordan and go into their promised land. And Moses said, well, we're going to send some spies in to scout out the land to see what we have to do to take it. Because God had told them, there are giants in that land. And there are giants in your promised land. And they came, 10 spies. 10 were sent in to scout and to spy the land and to come back and report. 12, I'm sorry. And those 12 went in and they came back, and 10 of those spies came back with a message of fear. Came back with a message that says, we can't take that land. We're like grasshoppers and there are giants in the land. And we will be defeated. But 2, Joshua and Caleb, said, with God's help, we can take this land. But because of the disbelief, because of the lack of faith of the 10, there was a period of 40 years wandering in the wilderness, a period of trial, a period of testing. There was a period of probation for all of those who were alive who cried out and listened to those 10 spies. You see, the whole multitude listened to them and said, you're right, we can't do it, we can't do it. And so there were 40 years of probation, of testing, of trial. They were being tested. God is putting you in a place right now where you will listen or you will not. I don't know how to make it more real. I could pace back and forth and I could preach up a storm, but I'm afraid I would lose my voice. And the Lord was reminding me that it's not how much I shout. His Spirit speaks the Word. Jonathan Edwards preached Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God with a monotone voice that on any other Sunday put the people to sleep in his church. But the Spirit of God moved through that message that day, and in the end, people were on their knees crying out loud for mercy from God because of their sin. Oh, that God would do a work like that among us. You see, God knows the heart of man. He knows your heart. He knows it inside out. And there have always been false prophets, and they have a message and they get heard. And the world just looks and laughs and mocks. Likewise, there have always been true prophets. Sometimes they get an audience. Sometimes they're heard, but still the world and much of the church scorns them and scorns their message. I want you to imagine with me something for a moment. I was thinking about this and I thought, imagine if some lone figure walked across the Brooklyn Bridge 40 days before the World Trade Center was bombed in September of 2001. Just imagine if 40 days before that event, a man had come walking into Manhattan. I've been in Manhattan when there were Black Panthers and different groups standing up on platforms, preaching as thousands of people walked by, preaching messages of hate and political messages and all kinds of nonsense. And the people just shake their heads and they walk by. Every now and then, one or two people will stop and listen for a minute. But by and large, the crowds pass by. And what if this man had stood up on a platform 40 days before that horrific event and began to proclaim, God has spoken, yet 40 days, and this center of wealth and prosperity will be overcome, will be overwhelmed by the enemy, great destruction, great disaster. What would you have done? If you had walked by and you had heard this man and he was shouting at the top of his voice, 40 days and the city will be overcome. 40 days and these buildings will come down. I know what you would have done and what I would have done. We would have shook our heads and we would have passed by and thought, what a nut. And yet there were people who heard God speak. The pastors and staff of Times Square Church, God spoke in their prayer meetings. And they knew that there was an imminent calamity coming against the city. And they were on their knees praying. And they were the first ones on the scene to be able to offer help. And the city called upon them to help during that time of need. They were prepared. They were prepared. And what if 40 days before the earthquake hit Japan, someone boarded a jet from somewhere and landed in Japan and got off and went on their news and said, 40 days, yet 40 days, and this place is going to be shaken like you cannot believe. 40 days and great calamity, great disaster will come. Who would have heeded the voice? Who would have listened? And what if 40 days before Katrina hit New Orleans, someone had been crying out, yet 40 days, and this city will be inundated with water. Who would have listened? Who would have heard the message? And yet the message goes forth. The message of the gospel, I want you to listen to me. This is what the gospel is saying to you. Yes, the gospel preaches the glorious message of the cross. And we preach that and we lift Christ up all the time. Yes, the gospel is the message of salvation. But it's because the truth is that the word that God gives over and over and over again is, yet 40 days. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yet 40 days. In other words, there is a judgment coming. The message of the cross is a wonderful message. But if you don't respond to it, if it's not worked into your life, and again, this is where I get frustrated because my words can't convey the seriousness of the fact that your 40 days, my 40 days could end this afternoon and we would all be standing before the throne of God, and that's not reality to us. We're so wrapped up in this temporal life and all the goods that are now provided for us. But we don't really, really, really think that this afternoon, it could be our 40 days. And what will you say? What will you say if 40 days from now, we are standing before Him? What will you say if 40 days from now, we are hiding in an underground meeting place? What will you say if 40 days from now bombs are falling all around us and there are riots in the streets as there are in the Middle Eastern nations today? What will you say? All of your life, you have been hearing this message. It just wasn't put in these words. Yet 40 days, young people, as you saturate your life, and I only say you because we as adults have set the example for you, not always the right one. As you saturate your life with the interests of this world, yet 40 days, and some of you will be sorrowful over having wasted the time that has been given to you. Now here's the great thing, is that 40 days is a time of trial and testing, but during your 40 days, whatever that may be, you're not alone. There's something glorious that happens for those who are being tested and tried and have repentant hearts. You know, the early church waited. Jesus was raised from the dead. Some saw Him, but others had not seen Him yet. So there were multitudes who were saying, I don't know what to make of this. You understand their hopes were dashed? Maybe your hopes have been dashed. Their hopes were dashed. He was going to overthrow Rome. He was going to set up His kingdom. He is the Messiah, and He's been laid in a tomb. Some say He's been raised from the dead, but I haven't seen Him raised from the dead. And their whole life is turned. Their whole world is turned upside down. But the church waited because Jesus said, wait. Wait in Jerusalem until you have received power from on high. And they waited. And they did not understand this period of testing. Their faith was being tested. Their faith was being tried. They were called upon to wait. They had not yet received what you and I have. We don't realize what we have. They had received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost had not, we have received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. For them, Pentecost had not yet come. Because there was a time of testing, listen. There was a time of trial. There were 40 days. 40 days until the coming of the Spirit of God. 40 days waiting. But I want you to see something. That during that 40 days, and this is where I'm almost at the end, and this is what I want you to carry away with you. 40 days always represents testing, trial, and probation in the Word of God. You and I are in times of testing, trial, and probation. He desires to prove faith through us. During their 40 days waiting after the resurrection, waiting until the day of Pentecost, they were beginning to see Him. He was appearing to them. He was revealing Himself. He was appearing to the church. He was appearing to Peter. And He was appearing to Mary and James and John and each one. He was appearing on the road to Emmaus to the disciples who were saying, we don't understand what's happening. You won't always understand during your time of testing and trial and probation. But that is the time, if you have repentant hearts, that Jesus is revealing Himself to you. He is showing Himself to be real to you. But here is where we are. Here is where we are. Here is where you are. Here is where the church is. And here is where the world is. And it's pictured for us in that wilderness church. Remember I said that it was called the church. It's the people of God. And they had come out of Egypt. And Moses goes up on the mountain. And the people are on the desert floor. Moses goes up on the mountain to meet with God and to receive the law of God. But the people have something else in their hearts. Remember, these are the people of God. They have something in their hearts that lures them away from devotion to God. And they build a golden calf. That golden calf represents the idols of your heart. It represents everything that lures you away from God. And let me tell you what, This was their 40 days of trial and testing. And it was also Moses' 40 days of trial and testing as he pressed into God. And you've got this incredible story of contrast as Moses is in his 40 days and he is receiving revelation of the very presence of God. And he's saying, Lord, let me see your glory. God's saying to Moses, you can't handle all of that, Moses, but I'll let you see some. And he's meeting with God. He's receiving the word of God. God's making him a leader. He's preparing him. Down in the valley, the people of God are all dancing around the golden calf, dancing around all this gods and this stuff that they brought out of Egypt. Everything from their past that they loved is now wrapped up in that golden calf, and they're just dancing and partying. The Bible is specific that it says that Moses came down off the mountain and he saw that they were all naked. And they're having this great party and drinking and dancing and throwing off all restraints. And they failed their test. They failed their trial. They failed their probation. But Moses did not. And that's where we are, isn't it? 40 days. I don't know what the next literal 40 days will mean for you or me. I know that God is saying time is short. Yet 40 days, hear the importance of this, beloved. 40 days and this city shall be overthrown. 40 days and the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God in Christ. Whatever that 40 days is, 40 days, and you and I will stand before the throne of God. When that time period is up, and it will draw to a close. And some will stand before the throne of God, and they will feel like such fools because they heard the word, and they partied around a golden calf, and they never took it seriously. Others will know their own weakness and say, well, I wasn't a great man or woman of faith, but daily I repented. Daily I yielded my heart before the Lord and I said, do a new work in me today, God. Change my heart. And I took seriously the word, yet 40 days. And I said, God, what are you speaking to me in this? What are you saying to me? Pastor Mark preached this word and it didn't make a lot of sense to me. It sounded like something encrypted. It sounded like something in a code. Yet he kept saying, yet 40 days. And I thought, is he trying to predict something that's going to happen 40 days from now? And he kept saying, no, that's not what I'm saying. He said it represents a time of completion, a time of testing and trial, and then a time when a new thing begins. And we stand before the throne of God. And he said, it's a time that I'm being tried and I'm being tested. And I went home and I asked God. I said, God, what does that mean? You see, some are going to go home today and you are going to turn on the television and you're going to say, that was a strange word. I'm not going to think about it anymore. And you won't. Some will listen by the internet. They'll turn it off before it ever gets to this part of the message. And they'll say, who does he think he is? Some prophet. But some will go home and they will say, Lord, I sensed that you were speaking. And there's something for me in that. What do you want to do in me? What does this mean to me? 40 days. And this city shall be overthrown. I'll let that be between you and the Lord. Just as it was between Belshazzar and the God he rejected. Just as it was between Noah and the God that he listened to. Just as it was as the Israelites danced around the golden calf. It was between them and the God they rejected, just as it was for Moses who said, no, I'm going up higher and I'm listening, Lord. There will be some today who will take a step further with the Lord. And there will be some today who will grow a little bit harder, and that just absolutely frightens me for you, that you would shut your ears to the living God. It's easy to do that by saying, well, I'm not shutting my ears, but by never taking it seriously enough to say, God, what are you speaking to me? What is this period that I'm living in? What is your will for me? What do you want from me? Speak, Lord. Your servant hears. Let's stand. Wyatt, if you would come. If there's one person in here today that does not know what it means to have a yielded life, to say, I have been born again. Jesus said that there is a good confession. It's where Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We're all called to make that confession, not with outward lips, but with a heart that says, you are the Christ, and I need you. If you need prayer today, I invite you to come and respond to the Lord in whatever way is needful in your life, whether it's to be strengthened, healed, or to be saved, having never been saved before. The Bible says that there will be great rejoicing in heaven over what? Great faith? No. The Bible says there's great rejoicing in heaven over a repentant sinner, a repentant heart. You know what? I want to have great faith. I really do. I want to have great faith. But I've come to realize how much more important it is to have a heart that causes rejoicing in heaven. That's a repentant heart. Heart that's broken before the Lord. Let's worship Him.